want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. And we've been looking at ways to, keys to increase your giving and receiving. Say, I'm a giver. Say, I'm a receiver. And the primary way that we can do that is by having a thankful heart. And we've been developing and cultivating a thankful heart. Amen. Have you seen an increase of thanksgiving in your life? It makes the difference between success and failure. It makes the difference between blessing and lack, is how thankful of a person you are. Amen? And we know that the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says we need to be thankful in everything, for this is God's will for you. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? To be thankful in everything. You know, we don't hear much news about being thankful, right? It's all this negative stuff. It's all this junk, you know, and it fosters fear more than it does thanksgiving. Amen? But we live in a different kingdom. Amen? God's calling us to a higher standard, and he wants us to be a thankful people with a heart of thanksgiving. And we need to be able to express thanks to God, because he is good and he is almighty. Amen? And in Romans chapter 4, and we're going to begin with, let's go begin with verse 16. Romans 4, 16. And there was something that Abraham did to help him in the in-between time when God spoke to him and when the promise manifested. That, you know, how many know that we got some in-between time? And a lot of people wonder, well, what do I do in between time? I'm glad you asked that question, because we're going to go over exactly that today. In Romans 4:16, the Bible says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to this end, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. And here's the phrase that I want you to look at: not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. And look at that phrase: giving what? Glory to God. Well, did you know that thanksgiving is a form of praise? And when you're actually giving thanks to God, you're actually giving God glory, and you're actually strengthening your faith. Amen? See, because it's going to take strong faith to receive all that God wants you to have. And then, and he being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So I'm entitling this part is Don't Let Your Faith Weaken, But Keep Your Faith Strong. Another way you could say this is, God, how come it's taken so long? Has God ever spoken to you? And have you ever questioned God, when is this going to happen? When is this going to come to pass? You know, you've told me this, Father, and your word is true, and I believe you, but I want to see it. Well, you know what? Abraham struggled with the same things. He had the same issues. You know, it took 25 years for the promise of God to manifest in Abraham's life. When God said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations, it was 25 years before he became a father of Sarah's child. Amen? Oh, yeah, he was a father of Ishmael, but that wasn't where the promise was. The promise was going to be with Sarah, and it was going to be in Isaac. Amen? And for 25 years, there were things that Abraham did, you know? And let's look at this for a minute. All right? Notice, he did not weaken in faith. You have got to keep your faith strong. Amen? Now, your faith is like a muscle. Anybody ever go to the gym? And in order to keep your muscle strong, what do you need to do? You got to exercise. What else? You got to what? Keep going. What else? You got to eat right. So you got to eat right, you got to exercise, and you got to keep going, right? And that keeps your muscles strong, don't they? You know, when an athlete, when they're done with their season, they don't sit on the couch and watch TV all the time, right? They better keep up in shape. They better keep up in shape in the off season. Why? Because pretty soon their season is going to come again, and if they haven't kept up in the off season, they're going to struggle in the season. Amen? And a lot of Christians are like that. We don't keep ourselves strong in the off season, so when the season comes, we're weak. And when you have weak faith, it is hard to believe God. It is hard to receive from God with weak faith. Just like it's hard to lift a heavier weight if you haven't been working out your muscles. It's the same principle. It works the same way. Okay? So what did Abraham do? See, our faith weakens when we focus on wrong things. Circumstances, feelings, opinions, reports from professionals. And when we hear these things and we allow our focus, our attention to be on these things, that's actually going to weaken your faith. And I'm not talking about first hearing the news. I'm talking about focusing on it, letting it become your focus, and paying all your attention to it. It's going to weaken your faith. So your faith weakens when you focus on wrong things. Now it's up to you to keep your faith strong. And how do you do that? You've got to consider right things. You've got to look to right things. Abraham, there were some things that he considered that kept his faith strong. There were some things that he didn't consider. Because if he was to give his consideration to those things, his faith would have been weak and the promise would not have come to pass. God needs strong faith to bring his word to fulfillment in a person's life. Okay? Now, what does it mean to consider? This word to consider, it's the Greek word kataneo, and it means to observe fully, to behold, to discover, to perceive, to comprehend, to exercise the mind. It means to perceive or to think or to understand, okay? The Bible clearly says, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. There were obstacles to God's promise being fulfilled. Number one, Abraham was past the age where he was a viable candidate to produce an offspring. Number two, Sarah's womb was dead. She was past having hot flashes. Her body stopped producing those things, and her womb was dead. It was unable to produce a child. That's an obstacle, isn't it? If God told Abraham that he was going to have a father with Sarah, both their bodies would have to be in working order in order to make that come to pass, right? So Abraham could not consider his body. He could not consider Sarah's womb. The only thing he considered was God's promise. And from the moment that God spoke to him to the moment that God manifested, there was something that he did in between. And he gave glory to God. See, from the very first word that God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12, you know what the first thing that Abraham did when he received God's word is he built an altar. You can read it. There were five altars that Abraham built in different places. What does it mean to build an altar? It means to set a place of worship. It means to set a particular place and to honor God with worship and sacrifices and offerings. And Abraham, along his journey in the between time, he was setting up altar here, an altar here, and an altar here, and an altar here. Because why? He developed a lifestyle of worship. He developed a lifestyle of thanksgiving to God. He developed a lifestyle of giving glory to God and praising God. And he did that along the journey. He built the altars in different places. Now, an altar is where God's presence is manifested. An altar is where God speaks. An altar is where he confirms his covenant with you. He confirms his relationship with you. Amen? Now, today, you don't have to take some blocks and build an altar. Your altar is wherever you want to get into the presence of God. Amen? But you better develop the habit now. Get in the practice of giving praise and thanks to God. Get in the practice of giving glory to God in spite of your circumstances. Okay? What you feed your faith with will determine how your faith will grow and whether it will remain strong. Now, we know that if you had a steady, continual diet of Twinkies. Now, Twinkies are out of business anymore. I don't know if Hostess went out of business. That's a shame. I grew up on Hostess, you know. It was a Hostess with the mostess. I can remember my grandfather on my dad's side. My dad was an only child, and my grandmother and grandfather, they lived close. So every Saturday, they would come to our house. They would do work in our house, and they would bring junk food. See, now, I was a balanced person. I had one set of grandparents that were healthy, health food, and one set of grandparents that were junk food, so I lived a balanced life. True story, though. Depending on what you feed your faith. Now, if you are feeding your faith with negative food, that is not going to strengthen your faith. That is actually going to weaken your faith. And when you go to believe God, your faith isn't going to be able to handle it. And your faith will wreck. And then you'll blame God because you'll blame God as to why he didn't work. It's not God's fault. It's your faith's fault. You did not feed your faith the right things. You did not keep your faith strong. I'm going to get into some ways on how to do that. So stay with me. Okay? Your faith is based in what you consider, what you look to, what you listen to, what you stand on, and what you believe. Your faith is based on what you consider. Now, we can read Hebrews 11, and we can read how Sarah got strength. You know how she got strength? She considered the faithfulness of God. She began to consider how faithful God was when they left Haran, how faithful God was to them when they were in Egypt, how faithful God was when they walked through Canaan and they were setting up their tent everywhere they went. When she considered the faithfulness of God, all of a sudden, supernatural strength came to her and totally quickened her womb. That's how it happened. So what you consider, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Men who are married, you better consider your wife. Don't be considering some other woman. Because what you consider will be the basis of your faith. Amen? What you consider is important. Abraham did not consider his body, his age, or Sarah's body, or barrenness, or dead womb. Was it a fact that Sarah's womb was dead? Yes, it was a fact. But which is greater, that fact or God's word? If God said, I'm going to make you a father, he can bring life to dead things. Amen? God is the resurrection and the life. And even if something's dead, he can bring life to it as long as you believe what he said. Amen. There may be some dead things in your life. And you need to ask the Lord, should they be cut off or should they be made alive again? Dead dreams. Amen? Listen, I hope there's nobody here that has let their dreams go. God gave you your dreams. He gave them to you because he wants you to bring them to pass, but it's going to take faith to do that. How many know that God gave Joseph a dream? His dream was his brothers and his father bowing down to him. Now, he didn't know how that was going to happen, so what happened? His brothers sold him into slavery. That would have been a good opportunity to give up his dream, but he didn't. Then he was purchased as a piece of property in a foreign country. Now, that would have been enough for people to give up their dream, but he didn't. We know that he didn't give up his dream because of his attitude. Amen? Joseph didn't know how the dream was going to come to pass, but I guarantee you he considered God, because his consideration showed up in his attitude and how he worked and how he ministered and how he did his job. Amen? And then Potiphar's wife was attracted to him. She tried to seduce him, and he resisted. But then he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. That would have been a lot. That would have been a good enough reason for a lot of people to give up their dream. But not one who considers God. Amen? Listen, when you consider God, it doesn't matter what the circumstances say. All that matters is what God says. Because if you hold on to what God says, you'll make it through the circumstances. Now, there are people in the body of Christ. You're going through trouble. You're going through things. God knows it. Other people around you know it. My question to you is, what are you doing about it? People who go through things, do you ever call someone from the church and become a prayer partner and start interceding for that thing? There are things that we can do to overcome our circumstances. You were not meant to overcome your own circumstances by yourself. There's going to come a point in time when you need someone to lean on, when you need someone to rely on. And guess what? That's what God designed the body of Christ for. Find someone in the church that you can pray with. Pray about your situation. You know what? When you pray with someone who's in agreement with God and you, your results are exponential. There's a power that is released in agreement. So if you don't have anybody to stand with you, find someone here. Amen? You know what? When the apostles needed people to wait on tables, it was apparent that the people knew what to look for. People who were full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, and full of faith. Right? And the people chose people who had those qualities. So look for someone who's full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith as a person that you can pray with. Some of you need a prayer partner. You're trying to solve the problem on your own, and it's not working. Because, you know what? The one thing about God is we're not limited in our strategy and how to defeat an enemy. God's got many ways. And if one way isn't working, then ask the Lord, what way should I be doing? How many know God instructed David before every battle on how to fight, where the enemy was going to be, and what to do, right? As long as he inquired of God, God gave him answers. Well, the same is true for you. Say, I'm not alone. Say, I'm part of a family. A family of God. So if you need help, look for someone and help make up the difference. Ask the Lord to lead you to the right person. Amen? So Abraham purposed in his heart that he gave praise and glory to God. All right? See, keeping your faith strong will be rewarded. What was Abraham's reward for his faith? God made him what? Father of many nations. What else? He made him righteous and rich too. Abraham's faith was accredited to him for righteousness. So God took Abraham's faith and it pleased God's heart and God made him righteous. How are you going to be righteous? Huh? Same way that Abraham became righteous. You do it by faith, not because of who you are or where you're from or how much money you have or what position you hold. You do it by faith in God. Amen? By faith are you saved through grace. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Now, strong faith is to be fully satisfied and assured that God was able to keep his word and do what he promised. Abraham, verse 21, he was fully persuaded, right? That what he had promised, he was able to perform. Do you believe God? Do you believe what God said? Do you believe God's got the ability to do what he said? Okay, those are two things. You've got to become fully persuaded. What does that mean? That nothing else can convince you otherwise. If wild horses were to come in and drag you out, they couldn't make you change your mind. That's what it means to be fully persuaded, to be fully convinced. Amen? So, let's look at some areas here. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're first going to look at the bad side, because I want to leave good things in your ears, right? Matthew chapter 6, and verses 30 to 34. Basically, this whole chapter is about don't worry. And he says in verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of what?" If you don't believe that God can clothe you, that's little faith. If you are caught up and being anxious and worry about your wardrobe, that's little faith. Okay? Verse 31. "Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink?" Notice you don't want to take thought saying. Because when your words release power either for good or bad. Amen? And your heavenly Father, he said, what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Does God know you need these things? Is God a loving Father? Amen. But notice, what does he want you to do? Seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Okay? So when you're anxious or when you worry, you're are operating in weakened faith. It doesn't take a whole lot of faith to worry. It doesn't take a whole lot of faith to fret, to pace back and forth wondering how it's going to happen or how it's going to be brought to pass or did, you know, if you start doing that, you're going to begin to question God if what he said was really true. Now, Jesus said this as little faith, didn't he? This is weak faith. Okay? So we don't want to have weak faith. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. "When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep." Sometimes storms can make you nervous, can't they? Especially if you're in them. Amen? And I remember one time, we had, my family and I, we had gotten home from New Zealand. And we were in Chicago. And in Chicago, it was raining. And we only lived 2 hours from the airport. So we thought, hey, we could drive home and be in our bed tonight after traveling 17 hours in a plane. I'll tell you what, you look forward to being in your own bed. So everything was good. It was raining. Halfway through, though, the rain became a torrential snowstorm. You know the snow with the big flakes and it's like coming at you? It like hypnotizes you, you know? You can't see the road. On the highway, on an interstate, we're doing 15 miles an hour. Can't see anything 15, 20 feet in front of us. And my mom, she gets a little nervous in situations like this. And but you know what? I just kept saying, we're going to make it, we're going to make it. And eventually we made it. But you know what? Jesus asked these people in verse 26, he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Did you know that fear will weaken your faith? Amen? See, it takes strong faith to give glory to God from here to here. All right? Now, there were times when Abraham's faith weakened. Because in Genesis 15, he asked the Lord, he said, what are you going to give me seeing I go childless? What was he looking at? He was looking at the childlessness. He was looking at what we didn't have. And so many times, when God gives us a promise, don't we look at things that we don't have instead of what he said? It's very easy to get your eyes on the wrong thing, right? It's very easy to get your mind in tune to the wrong thing, okay? But if you keep your faith strong, and you do that by glorifying God, all right? We're going to talk about how to strengthen your faith here in just a minute, all right? And you keep walking with God, eventually, guess what? You're going to get to the promise. And the promise is going to be a reality in your life, and you're going to even glorify God more. But it takes a little bit of doing, doesn't it? You know, the devil would love for you to get out of faith. He would love for you to get your focus on other things. He would love to distract you. He would love to delay you. He would love to stop for you to even turn away from God. But we've got to keep our faith strong. And we do that by giving praise and glory to God, by having a thankful heart. That's how you keep your faith strong. You know, it takes just as much effort to thank God as it does to talk about the problem. Right? It's just a matter of shifting your thoughts and your words. Okay? Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. And let's go to verse 31. This is where Peter walked on the water. Well, we better look at verse 30, okay? Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come, right? What did Jesus say? So God gave Peter his word, didn't he? His word was to come. Now, he didn't say, come, Peter, so that applied to everybody that was in that boat, okay? But only one believed it, to step out of the boat and to walk on water. Now, Peter was a fisherman. He knew that walking on water was impossible. In all of his years of fishing, he had never told his fishing buddies how he walked on water up to this point, okay? So Jesus said, come. All right, Peter, he gets out of the boat, and he's walking on water. He walked on water to go to Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, boisterous or strong, what happened? He was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out to the Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, what? O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? You know what's funny? Jesus didn't say, good job, Peter, you made it this far. He didn't, did he? See, being a Christian means we hit the mark. And we've got to, our target is Jesus, right? And from the time now until Jesus comes or until you leave this earth, you better hit the target. And you better follow after Jesus. Amen? It is our responsibility as believers in Christ Jesus to follow him. He said, pick up your cross, didn't he? He said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and what? Follow me. As a believer in Christ, we are to follow Jesus. We are to do what he says. We are to follow him wherever he leads us, wherever he wants us to go. We are to follow him into what he wants us to be. He's got the right to give us a divine purpose. He's Lord. So when we doubt, we weaken our faith. When we rely on our physical senses, we weaken our faith. Remember when Jesus appeared to the disciples when after he rose from the dead? Someone was missing. Remember who it was? Thomas wasn't there. And Jesus came and he said some words, and then the next day or whatever, Thomas showed up and they said, hey, Thomas, guess what? Jesus is here. He's alive. What was his reaction? I'm not going to believe unless I feel his wounds. What Thomas is saying is, I base my belief on my physical senses. That if it doesn't register with my physical senses, I'm not going to believe. But how many know that God is gracious? Amen? The next day, Thomas was there. Do you know that the Lord knew that he was there the next day? So he decided to show up. And what did he tell Thomas? He said, Thomas, feel my hands. Put your hand in my side. Then what happened? Thomas, then he believed. But was Jesus happy with that response? No, he said, blessed are they which don't see and believe. So, Abraham did not let his faith weaken. In other words, he didn't let his strength be depleted where he couldn't trust in God's promise. God's given us promises. Every one of us has a promise from God. Whether that promise becomes a reality is up to us. God's word is powerful enough to create this world, isn't it? He said, let there be light. There was light. He didn't send a lightning bolt. He didn't create some elaborate generation system. He simply spoke his word and created this world. Now, if such a word can create the world, when God speaks his word to you, doesn't that make it trustworthy? Can't we just put our trust in his word alone? Why do we need anything else to convince us that what God said is true when there's power enough in one word from God to make light shine, to put light in the sky, to tell the water you can't go past this mark? If God can create the world, why don't we trust God when he speaks to us? Why do we let our faith weaken when we get our eyes and our ears on the wrong things? Go to Hebrews chapter 3. Then we're going to get into strong faith. Say amen. Okay? Hebrews chapter 3. Now, here's the beauty of God. If you are in a state of weakened faith, you don't have to stay there. You can change it. You can get your faith energized. You can make your faith alive. You can make your faith strong by just changing your decision. By making a decision that you're going to go after God with all your heart, instantly God's strength will come to you and you'll feel stronger than you did before. So if you're in a weakened state of faith today, by all means, don't stay there. Come and get your faith fed. Come and get your faith energized. I got some Holy Ghost battery cables, and I can charge your dead battery, and I can bring life to your dead battery. So don't stay in a state of weakened faith. If you stay in a state of weakened faith, you are a target for the enemy. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren. What does that mean? Listen. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. The Word of God calls unbelief evil. In departing from the living God. Well, I thought if you're saved, you're never going to depart from God. Really? The Bible says it contradicts that thought. Because if you look at the wrong things, it's very easy to get off the path. I'll tell you what, why don't you do this test while you're driving? While you're driving, look to somewhere besides the road and watch what the car does. I guarantee you that if you're not looking on the road, that car will not stay on the road. When we don't look to Christ, our lives don't stay on the path. And it's simply a matter of what we consider or what we look at or what we think upon. So I don't want an evil heart of unbelief in you. I don't want you to depart from the living God. I want to exhort you daily. Amen? We need some exhortation daily. We need some daily encouragement. We need someone to call you up on the phone and say, get up off your cans. Notice I didn't say pants. Get out of your cans and get into the cans. The Bible doesn't say I can't do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need someone to call us and say, wake up, come on, it's time for church, let's go. That's what daily exhortation. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Listen, if you get involved in sin, it deceives you and it causes your heart to be hardened. And you don't know it. The spiritual heart of a person can become hardened, but it is a process. It starts with denying your conscience. And then your conscience becomes quieter and quieter. Then it starts with you not coming to a place where the Word of God is going forth. And then it starts with other things. And then guess what? All of a sudden now, sin has deceived you. And if you're deceived, then you become hardened. Some of you may know a deceived person. They're hard. They're bitter towards the things of God. They don't want to have anything to do with the things of God. They make fun of it. Don't get on this path. How are you not going to get on this path? You're going to continue to give glory to God. Give praise to God. Amen? You know, it's like the guy who walked across the Grand Canyon. I forget his name, the tightrope walker. He said, they asked him, they said, what's going to happen if you fall? He said, I'm going to go be with Jesus. And he had to encounter winds. He had to, you know, he didn't look down. He was looking up like this, and he held the weight. It's like the Word of God is like the pole that helps keep your balance in life, amen? After all, it's a plumb line. Let's read on. For we were made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Do you have the commitment to follow through with Christ? Or are you just a flash in the pan? Poof, there it is, but then it's gone. Can you hold your commitment to Christ steadfast to the end? Say amen if you're in it for the long haul. Amen. This is not a short-term journey. I know I'm telling you some hard stuff, but I got to get into the good news here. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You know, you have a choice whether or not your heart gets hard. What do you mean? When God speaks, you have to respond. The less you respond, the harder it is to respond. But the more you respond, the easier it becomes to respond. I can remember a time when it was hard for me to lift my hands. Now look at me now. I mean, there was a time when it was hard for me to lift my hands, but I overcame that. Amen. Now lifting my hands gets easier and easier. That's how it needs to be. For some, when they heard, they did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. All right? So let me give you, I got to feed your faith now, okay? All right, let's talk about strong faith. Strong faith comes when you consider what God says, like the Roman centurion. Only speak the word, and my servant shall be whole. Boy, that's confidence, isn't it? He's downright cocky in a positive way. He said, I'm not worthy that you should come over my house, but only speak the word. Jesus himself said, whoa, I have not seen so great faith in all of Israel. You know, great faith is when you are confident in God's word. If God said it, I believe it, so let's do it. That's what it means to be confident in God's word. Well, I don't feel like it. If God said it, I believe it, we can do it. Well, I'm not sure. If God said it, I believe it, so let's do it. You got to let your enthusiasm overcome the negative response. Amen? Okay. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 50 to 53. You don't have to turn there. You can put it up on the screen. This was Jesus' second miracle. The rich ruler's son, or the ruler's son, the royal official. And his son was dead, near dead, and he came to Jesus, and Jesus spoke to him. He said, your son shall live. And you know what? The guy walked away from that believing it. He didn't have Jesus come to his house and lay hands on him. He simply took what Jesus said, and he believed it. And as he was coming to his house, the servant said, Master, Master, your son lives. And he said, what hour did he live? The very hour that Jesus spoke. The very moment that Jesus spoke his word, life and power was in that word that he spoke. That's strong faith, when you just take God at his word. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Strong faith comes when you are continually, daily hearing God's word. Either you speaking it, or someone else speaking it, or you reading it, you got to hear it and hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing God's word. You want strong faith? Then don't quit hearing God's word. Don't stop listening to God's word. Become a Bible junkie. Amen? Get addicted to Jesus. You know, and when you get addicted to Jesus, you start singing, I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop. And people look at you and they think, what do you want? I'm on H, G, and JC. You want some? What are those? Oh, there's no high like the Most High. That's the best. Aren't you glad you got a pastor that's addicted to Jesus? Amen. Amen. I'm not ashamed to say that I'm addicted to Jesus. I don't care who knows. I guarantee you the devil knows it. Oh, yeah. I'm not like the sons of Sceva. Because I've had some confrontations with some demons, and they had to go. Amen. Matthew 15. 21 through 28. Don't have to turn there because these are in-depth stories. The Syrophoenician woman. She had opportunity after opportunity to quit. First of all, Jesus didn't say anything to her. Secondly, the disciples said, Jesus, send her away. She bugs us. Then Jesus said, I'm sorry, honey, but you're of the wrong race. I'm only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then this would have stopped anybody. Sweetheart, you're a dog. But what did she do? Yes, but even the dogs get the crumbs. Do you realize she left having great faith? Read it. Persistence, unwillingness to quit, not giving in, not stopping until you get what you want, you need, and you desire. Amen? When you come up to the altar for healing, and if it didn't happen, you say, I'm not leaving until I get it, because I believe in it. That's really what faith does, isn't it? Amen. Faith takes a stand and it doesn't turn back. You don't have to be embarrassed about your faith. Jesus wasn't. Faith pleases his heart. This is going to help you to give glory to God and to keep your faith strong. Because when you keep your faith strong, then the promise happens. But in order for you to get the promise, you got to keep your eyes on him. You cannot take your eyes off Jesus. You cannot divert from the path. Listen, it is easy to be destroyed. The path of the wicked, the Bible says, is wide. Wide is the path to destruction. It's easy to be destroyed. Why don't you do what Kevin said this morning and stand up and be a Christian and walk the narrow path? Amen? When you walk the narrow path, your feet have a sure footing. Your feet won't slip. Okay. Go to Luke 17, verses 5 and 6. I want you to see this. Luke 17, 5 and 6. I want you to leave today with strong faith, believing God for great things, arresting any weakness that we may have. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. And the apostle said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll what? You'll what? You might say, unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and planted in the sea, and it should obey you. How come Jesus didn't say, if you want great faith, this is how you have great faith? They said, teach us how to have great faith. If you had faith, you'd say. So we see a key to faith. Having great faith is speaking the word of God with authority. You know, if a bone in your body isn't working, should you speak to bones? Ezekiel did. He was in a field of dry bones. And the Lord said, hey, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel's thinking, that is a good question. And I love his answer. You know, Lord. He didn't say, I don't know. He said, you know, Lord. Listen, if you don't know the answer, just point to God and say, you know. You want to pass every test? You know, Lord. Ezekiel said, I'm not going to try to figure this one out. Then the Lord said, speak, to prophesy to the bones. See, great faith is released in the words you say. Great faith does not talk about the problem. It talks about the answer. Some of you have been praying for people for so long, and you're wondering, God, how long is this going to take? You just keep thanking God that he's on their case. You just keep glorifying God that he's working on them, and guess what? God will be working on them. Just thank God. Strong faith. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or fitting, because that your faith, what? How does it grow? Strong faith means that your faith is growing exceedingly. You're continually developing your faith. You're taking on greater challenges. You're facing bigger mountains. Your faith grows exceedingly. Now, I guarantee you, dead faith doesn't grow. Things that are dead don't move. They don't speak. They don't do anything because they're dead. Faith without works is what? See, if your faith is growing, then you ought to be producing more works. Oh, I'm telling you some truth here. When a person takes the position and they say, I don't need to change, you've just eliminated your faith from growing. Because as faith grows, you will change. Guarantee it. I'm not the same person I was. I'm not the same preacher I was. I used to think preaching a series, I said, I'll never preach a series. Look at me now. I'm growing. Okay? And the love of every one of you toward each other abounds. Listen, if your faith is growing, then so is your love growing toward each other. That means you love people more and more. Amen? You make allowances for people, the ones that annoy you, more and more. Because as faith grows, your love has to grow because faith works by love. You can't have growing faith without growing love. Okay? Then he said, so that we ourselves glory in you, the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Oh, you mean strong faith means I'm going to have to endure persecution? Yep. Persecution comes with strong faith. Did Jesus ever sin? And yet they crucified him, didn't they? Imagine if someone who never sinned, if they crucified him, what would they do for you? Persecution. Criticism. People will be critical of your faith. But you know what? That's just the devil trying to get you off your game. That's just the devil trying to intimidate you. You know, for a long time, my parents didn't understand what my sister and I were into. Because all they knew was the Catholic Church. Listen, it wasn't until my dad was in his 70s that he read the Bible through the whole year. He read the whole Bible through in 1 year. That is growth for my father. He had never done that before in his life. But it was 2 years ago, I gave him a 1 year Bible. And every time he would visit, he would tell me how far along he was. And he told me that he finished it. He read the Bible through for the first time in his life, in his 70s. Strong faith comes from lavishing your love on the Lord, like the woman who anointed Jesus. He said that her sins were for those whose sins are forgiven much love much. Every one of us know what kind of person we were, right? So when you're forgiven of much, you can love much. And when you lavish your love on God, that's a sign of great faith. And then Mark chapter 10, the woman is Luke chapter 7. And then Mark chapter 10, verse 46, it's the story of Bartimaeus. Great faith cries out for the Lord and doesn't quit. And keeps crying out until they get Jesus' attention. And see, Abraham, he honored God by how he believed God. And in the dark times, in the rough times, in the alone times, he gave glory to God. That doesn't mean he did everything right along the journey. There were mistakes that Abraham made, just like you and I, we make mistakes along the way. But just because you make a mistake doesn't mean you stop moving forward. You make a mistake and you move forward. That's where God's grace comes in. That's where his mercy comes in. God doesn't want you to be in a weakened state. He wants you to be in a strong state. And the way to be strong is to give glory and praise to God. The way to be strong is to confront sin. You got sin in your life? Let's confront it. Let's get it out of your heart. It'll do damage to you. Sin will destroy you. Jesus is the only cure for sin. The only cure for sin is repentance and putting your trust in Jesus. Let's be a people that put our focus on God. Get your focus off all the other junk. And let's put it on Jesus. Let's put it on the rock of our salvation. Let's put it on our chief cornerstone. Let's put it on the King Jesus. Let's focus on what he's saying and what he's doing. And as we strengthen our faith, giving glory to God, your eyes are on Jesus. All of a sudden, there's Isaac. Just like God said. So we got to keep our faith strong by giving praise to God. I know I said a lot of things today. I believe that there are some people here that you were in a weakened state. You've allowed other things to come in between you and Jesus. You stop seeking him first. He's no longer first. He's somewhere else down the list. Today is a day where you have an opportunity to change course. Amen? So I want to call you to change your course today. I want to call you to change your direction today. I want to call you to change your attitude today. I want you to make a decision and a commitment that you're going to stick with the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what. Amen? Because I want you to be at the end, and I want you to hear the Lord say, "Come on in, well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen? So I want you to know there is no condemnation. Amen? I am not condemning anybody. But I believe that God wants to strengthen some people today. I believe that there are some people here who are weak, and you're going to leave strong today. You're going to leave energized today. Those who are empty are going to leave full today. Those who are weary are going to be revitalized today. Those who are half dead can be resuscitated today. How many know that God has some spiritual CPR? Amen? So if that's you today, I want you to make a brave and courageous choice. You say, "Pastor Doug, I need to be strengthened today. I don't care in what. God knows. I want to pray for you today." Amen. I want to pray for you to be strong and courageous, to be energized, to be lifted up. Jesus is the glory and the lifter of your head. And he wants to lift you up today. So I believe that's you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just release the Holy Spirit. I pray that your Holy Spirit will begin to draw people's hearts, Lord, and that they would come to the living water. They would come and find refreshing. They would come and find strength in the name of Jesus. And I invite you to come right now. If this message has touched your heart and the Holy Spirit is drawing you, come right now to be strengthened in your faith. Come and be strengthened in your faith right now. The anointing can do what nothing else can do. Amen? So come up right now in the name of Jesus. Don't delay. Don't hesitate. Be obedient.